I'll just move over there.
Sure. Alright. It's Renetta Works. And this is like Circle Lake.
Okay.
You know it.
Alright, thank you.
Come, man.
Maybe it's trouble for you.
Yo.
The unspoken words.
What a simple.
I got enough of them. Okay, Rabbi Isai. That's what I don't get.
That's what we have to do.
Between the king and I. Oh, I got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, weak. That one's schwach. Schwach! Okay, Rabbi, so here we are. We're talking about Emunah. We're here. I'm sorry that we even had the people listening on the recording for the delay. Mind the gap. But we're talking about Emunah. We were speaking about a person in order to be involved in Emunah. It's not the type of thing you just do once, right? So you have to come consistently. The reason is because we have to keep reminding ourselves of our Emunah. Emunah is not something you have up here. You have it up here if you have a good memory. You heard it once and you're good. You have to have Emunah down here, not in your head, but in your heart. And the furthest distance in the world is from the heart to the head to the heart. You have to get it in your heart. How do you do that? It's about consistency. It's about a person doing this over and over again. If a person constantly reminds himself, it's like exercise. It keeps his emunah muscles in shape. Right? Because if a person in his head, a person can know something conceptually, but we have to try to get it into our heart. So listen to this beautiful thing. There's a sefer called Living Emunah from Rav Asher. In the Hakdama to the sefer, he says the following thing. I'd like to compare, he says the same idea that we're saying. I'd like to compare it to what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, let's say you have a choice of giving tzedakah. You can either give a $100 bill, or you could give 10 tens. What should you give? 10 tens or a $100 bill?
10 tens.
Why should you give 10 tens? Nope.
Because you practice it more.
Because you do more acts of giving. And the more acts of giving that you do, the more giving becomes part of your nature. Now, you're giving the same $100. It's not necessarily you're giving more people, necessarily. I mean, it is the same idea, but the point is that it becomes more of your, it's something that becomes more part of you, more of your heart. The more consistently you do something, so if you can do the same thing, the Rambam says, give $100, one bill, or you can give 10 times 100, right? It's better to do 10. Same thing over here. We could learn about Emunah once. Let's say we have it once. Or you could constantly remind yourself about your Emunah. Do it over and over again. The person that does that, so then his Emunah becomes something in his heart. Now, aside for the Emunah like lessons that we're learning, which is that we're talking about Emunah, a person can live his Emunah, and then he's constantly reminding himself of his Emunah. If you live your Emunah, you can constantly remind yourself of your Emunah. You sit down for a very important class, and you take your pen out, and your pen's not working, and I can't believe my pen's not working, I got class, or you know, if a person's, you know, at a class, and he has his computer, and his computer all of a sudden fries, or whatever, if he remembers Gamzula Taiva, he's living Emunah. He's right now experiencing an Emunah, avad in Emunah. He's living avad of Emunah. So he doesn't necessarily have to have a class. As long as you are zoned in, you constantly get Emunah, what we call them lights along the path, which is a Kodesh Baruch Hu sending us signals. And if you can pick up on those signals, so then you're constantly connecting with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what you're doing. And then, this is good. That we chazar Emunah is very, very important. That we do this every once in a while. But aside for the amunavad that we have, people can have certain situations in their life where something happened to them, and they'll say, Gamzu l'taifa, that means I just learned a lesson in Emunah. Did anyone have anything? Of course, there you go. We got Sully Snyder's right up there. Here it goes.
I'll start Shabbos Hanukkah.
That's a long story.
Shabbos Friday night. I brought a coat. I really like that.
Yeah.
And then I guess I forgot it. I just didn't know where it went.
At the Cordo?
Yeah. and
really, because I didn't think anything was left when I left.
I asked my cousin
yeah.
To look for it, and he said he could find it, whatever, it was too many people there, whatever. So I was very upset about it in the beginning, because it had a nice coat and a hat, and it's like a very beanie inside that I really liked. But
the red one?
Yes, the maroon. And I like that one also. But,
Gamzula Taiva. But it surely took it in stride, and the coat is we don't know where.
Yeah.
And Gamzula Taiva, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, listen, you know the maroon beanie was very good for you at a time. Now it's time to move on from the maroon beanie. Now you don't have the maroon beanie. You know something? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu not want the maroon beanie? Who knows? But I'm not gonna read into it necessarily. But that's a story. We're gonna save your story for next week. Okay. What? What'd you say?
It's about someone else.
Okay. Is that okay for the meantime? Unless we have time. Let's see, we're running late already. So it's like this, Rabbi say. What I want to share with you is a fascinating concept in advertising. I don't know if we ever spoke about this. This is FedEx.
You don't have to get.
Would you slow down?
Yeah.
Sheesh, gosh. This is you know what FedEx is, Ellie? Are you familiar with FedEx?
Arrow and
okay, just fine. Everyone just
okay, sheesh. Here you go. There's the arrow right there, right inside. Now, when I first heard about this, from that moment on, every single time I saw the logo, all I could think about is the arrow. Pass that down to Yitzi Reed. There's an arrow there. That arrow is there to send you I believe it's called, if I'm not mistaken, cognitive advertising, which is an advertising which is somewhat subliminal. And it's there. It's to send you. And once a person sees that, so then he's like, "Wow!" And it kind of like draws him to this. Now, there's similar types of situations of cognitive advertising we have over here. Similar. Let's look at Baskin Robbins for a second. You see Baskin Robbins? Do you know that Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors? You see
oh
that?
My God!
It's pretty exciting, no? You think that that's a coincidence that the B is not so connected over there because it's 31 flavors?
You knew about this?
Yep.
Yeah, it's different colors.
Okay. You're
now,
I'm kidding.
Amazon.
I didn't know Baskin Robbins.
Amazon is A to Z. Amazon is A till Z. They got everything there. Amazon. They sell A to Z in Amazon.
Oh my God.
Right? Tostitos, you see that there's two men in the middle of the Tostitos. And they're holding over there a little nacho. Tostito?
No, I don't see that.
You don't see that?
Wow.
Here we go. You want to pass this out? Pass this down to two people over there.
Or the top one.
And there's the two T's. Those are two people. And they're holding in top, right? There's that little nacho in their hands in the middle. Tostitos. So everybody said, what's my point? A lot of Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing to this to us every single day. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing this to us.
Pass it down.
Tour de France is, that's much more obvious. There's a bicycle right there. See that?
Yeah.
The O in Tour.
I got it. There's a guy bending over.
That's pretty obvious.
What about top one? What are the Hershey Kisses?
What?
What?
Hershey Kisses, that's the lane. That's lame. There's supposed to be a sideways Hershey Kiss in the black. It's pretty lame. See that? Between the K and the I? It's a black Hershey Kiss.
Many other ones also.
Yeah, seen better. Many other ones also. Anyway, Rabbi said, what's my point? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this to us every single day. He's sending us cognitive messages. Right? Everything is being covered by what appears to be nature. There's a lot of things that appear to be nature, but really underneath the mask of nature is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Teva. Hateva, Teva is Gematria Elohim. This is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When very often Hashem is sending us messages, it's all really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to figure out how to interpret them. It's a very good question. But a person realizes that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you do that? By constantly seeing cognitive messages, saying that every time you look at American at FedEx, you see the arrow. So you got to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. There is lights along the path. Some people are just oblivious to it. They don't even see it. It doesn't mean anything to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in their life. We have to try to like get somehow past what appears on the surface and say, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu sending me a message. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu sending me a message. This is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's it. Everything is Gamzu L'Taiva. If everything's from Hashem, everything is for the good. So I want to talk about a few different things right now. We'll start with the following thing. If a person realizes that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So then, anything a person does to you, why did it happen? What?
A person is a messenger.
So everything that happens is for the good. So for example, let's say a person is not feeling well. This has happened before. A person is not feeling well. And someone comes in and roughs him up. He asks that you got to get up and wakes him up and he roughs him up, right? And he's like, I'm not feeling well. He gets angry, gets frustrated or upset or something like that, right? If you realize everything is for the good of Kodesh Baruch Hu, why does that happen? You're supposed to tell him, I'm not feeling well. No, they don't. You mean if they don't believe you? Okay, well, it depends on your track record, sweetheart. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, but listen to this. There's an Isra in the Torah of seeking revenge on someone. Why is there an Isra in the Torah of seeking revenge? Says the Chinuch, you know what the reason is? Why is it asur to take revenge on someone? Because if something happened to you, it was supposed to happen to you.
And why are you allowed to kill, why are the relatives allowed to kill somebody?
Okay. That's a very good question. Why are relatives, Goyal Adam, what's the Pshan Goyal Adam? Yeah. It's a very good question. Well, let's leave that alone for now. It's an excellent question, Yossi. But let's differentiate before, we're going to have to get back to Yossi's question. I like that question, but let's differentiate between two things. There's the me and the you. There's the me and the you. Let's say I do something horrific to you. Now, was it supposed to happen to you?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because if it wasn't supposed to happen,
it wouldn't have happened.
So it was supposed to happen to you. So therefore, should you bear a grudge? No. That's the Isser of not taking
revenge.
Nakama. Now, when I get up to Shemayim, and I did something horrific, so am I going to say to Hashem, well, it was supposed to happen to him anyway, so what do you want from me?
No.
Is Hashem going to, is that going to pass over there?
No.
No, it's not going to fly, because it was supposed to happen, but
it wasn't supposed to be. Who said it was supposed to be?
You didn't have to choose to be the one to do it.
It's like Mitzrayim, right?
Just like Mitzrayim, right? Just like Mitzrayim. So, this is a revenge, is that I am not supposed to get angry. I am not supposed to get angry. So I want to give you a mashal, okay? I personally find it offensive that people take pies, birthday pies, and
pie.
Just pie in people's plate. I find that to be very offensive, personally. And if a person would do that to me, I would probably be very... I would try not to be, because everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Try not to get frustrated. But it's not the type of thing that I think is appropriate. I think that it's very crass. I think that it just means that you don't really care about your friend. You just have a good time on his account. I mean, some people might ask to be pied. That's their choice. If they like to have that all over their face, so then I think that they need therapy. But they might. I mean, I don't really think anyone really likes that. I just think it's just about just the craziness of it. But okay, whatever. I don't see people doing that randomly. Like, I never saw walked in someone's room and I'm pieing himself. Like, ooh, oh, so much fun. Ooh. So what? It's just the randomness that people are enjoying about it, at best, if the guy enjoys it. So I personally don't think it's a nice thing to do. Someone does it to me, and I get angry. That's not such a good thing. Because then, I'm angry because he did it to me, and it came from Hashem. But if someone would do it to, let's say, Yehuda, and I get angry, then I'm getting angry because of the fact that he did it. He didn't do it to me. Now, if you do it to one of my boys, and I'm boys or whatever, so then maybe that's me, whatever. But this is a very subtle thing. Some people say, why can't I get angry at him because he did something wrong? So you could, if you would do it to someone else. But once he does it to you, you've already got your own personal, agenda over there, you're going to do it because, don't you mess with me, this is what happens, right? It's about me. But if you say, I'm angry because of he did something wrong, right? So then I'm really angry, b'kilu, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ke'ilu, something called Nikmas Hashem, whatever it is. That's the Isra of Nakama. The Isra of Nakama is, Person having emunah, everything is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the classic example of that? Like, you think of a classic example of a person who's in a situation where he could seek revenge. He could do it. And he said, you know what? I'm not taking revenge. Classic. Someone's in a situation where he could take advantage of other people because he's right now much more powerful than them. The tables are turned. Before that,
Joseph
and his brothers. Right? Joseph's there. He's got everything right now. And the brothers are scared stiff. It's this week's parasha. This week's parasha, again. This week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu dies, and they're like, okay, Yaakov's not here. Yosef's got nothing to stop him from totally destroying us, taking revenge. And Yosef says, nothing to worry about. Because I realize that everything is from Hashem. I don't want to take revenge. Now, Yosef is the tzaddik. What does it mean, tzaddik? Tzaddik be'emunasoi yichya. You live with your emunah. Yosef lived with that emunah. No feelings of revenge. Yosef a tzaddik. Now, there's something else. A person that has gaiva. Where does gaiva come from? Gaiva come from because he says, this is me. That's me. I'm like awesome basketball player. That's gaiva. Right? A person realizes that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have gaiva. Same way everything that you do to me is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything I do, a person doesn't have gaiva. Let me tell you a great example of someone that has gaiva. Someone who has supernatural talent. Supernatural talent. And people are like, whoa, you are so awesome. And he says, it's not me. Where do we have that story? Yosef HaTzadik. That they come in and say, Yosef is interpreting dreams, supernatural talent, right? Paro says, I heard about you. You know how to interpret dreams. What does Yosef answer? Bil Adai. It's not me. It's not me. Everything is Min HaShemayim. Person realizes everything is Min HaShemayim. So then, there's no room for gaiva. There's no room for kas. All of these bad midas that a person has comes from a lack of emunah. Emunah is everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this. Someone thinks of a massive chiddush. Do you know how you say that in Yiddish? Person has a chiddush. I heard this from the Rosh Yeshiva. Zola Zang is stuck with Meir Stern. Heard this from the Rosh Yeshiva. How do you say in Yiddish? What? An Einfall. What does it mean, an Einfall or a Reingefallen? So where did it fall from? Where did it fall from? From Hashem. It fell into my head. The Rosh Yeshiva Zola Zang is on. It's an Einfall. What does that mean? It's not me. Person that's like, oh, listen to my chiddush, to me, to this. So then he's lacking emunah, an einfall. How do you say you're welcome in Yiddish? How do you say you're welcome? Shkoyach is thank you. Shkoyach is thank you. How do you respond to shkoyach? How do you say you're welcome in Yiddish? No. Anyone know? It's not an exact translation. Thank you. You're welcome. What does your welcome mean? You're right. I did something for you. And you're very welcome. I was happy to do that for you. You know how to say it in Yiddish? Nishdo farvos. Nishdo farvos. What does that mean? There's nothing to thank me for. Nishdo farvos. That's what Yiddish means. Nishdo. Person says, adank, shkoyach, whatever. Nishdo farvos. What does that mean? I recognize this is not me. This is not me. I'm not going to get high on my horse because of something that I did. Nishdo farvos. The Torah says in Hilchas Tzedakah, I also heard this from the Rosh Yeshiva Zola Zangazon. We have over here Baruch Hashem, the Pesach alumni with me, Rabbi Isaacowitz, so it makes me conjure up thoughts from the Rosh Yeshiva Zola Zangazon. There's an interesting thing. Tzedakah is giving charity. Right? Now, the word tzedek, does anyone know what the word tzedek means? Atat tzedek. You're right. Right means you're correct. What does the word chesed mean? Kind. Now, correct just sounds like you're just doing the right thing. Kind sounds like you're doing a little bit more than the right thing. Why is tzedakah called being, it's called the right thing to do? it's the right thing to do to give tzedakah. It's much more than the right thing to do. It's like, it's being kind. Isn't it being kind? You give someone from your own money. This is my hard-earned money. This is my money. And I'm giving you my money. Why? That's the right thing to do. That's a kind thing to do. The Torah has this kasha. Says the Torah, because you misunderstand the money. This is your money. You made this money. You're wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you this money. I went to Harvard and I did this and I did that and all my stuff is wrong. There's a lot of people that went to Harvard that are like penniless today. There's a lot of people that went into stocks and had the strategy and there's a lot of people that are mamish, lost everything they own. Why'd you make your money? Oh, because I'm smart, because I'm a me, because I'm a... That's not the truth. It says the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you the money. And listen to this, Hosefa. And he told you, listen, I'm lending you this money. When my kids come back and ask you for it, I want you to give it to them. Okay? So when Aniyim come, this is the Torah. The Torah is like a halacha sefer. It's a very interesting hakdama at tzedakah. Understand what the right attitude towards tzedakah is. When my kids and come and ask you for money, those are the Aniyim, give it back to them. Is that, when someone lends you money and you give it back, is that called being kind?
No.
No. That's just doing the right thing. Says the Torah, that is the attitude a person should have towards his money, towards tzedakah. Kadosh Baruch Hu lent us this money on loan. This money on loan. You have money on loan. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you could use it, but when my kids come, then I want you to give it back to them. Okay? I'm just doing the right thing. That's all it is. That's the attitude of a person. That's living emunah. Emunah changes everything a person has. Everything that happens. He doesn't have kas. No reason to get angry at anybody. No reason to get angry. And a person doesn't have gaiva. A person doesn't struggle with how much money he's making. He did make, he didn't make, he did this, he did that. Because everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's such an enjoyable way for a person to live. Another thing a person doesn't have is a person doesn't have pachad. There's an amazing story. I heard this from Rabbi Beryl Wein. So Lazayin Gesund. Rabbi Beryl Wein heard this from someone named Mendelovich. You boys lived, you grew up after the fall of communism. But when I grew up, communism was like a very, very big thing. It was on people's minds a lot. The communist regime was Russia. And the Soviet Union, it was massive. It was very scary, the Soviet Union. They threatened to destroy, and the United Nations on the podium, the Soviet Union got up and said, we will destroy America. And this was a huge, the Soviet Union was huge. Anyway, Soviet Union did not allow religion. You are not allowed to be religious in the Soviet Union. And that's why Soviet Jews are like totally ignorant of anything. And there were people that were under practice religion. They were put in jail. Or they were put into work camps, labor camps. They went to, what's that very cold place called?
Siberia.
One of them, very famous one's name is Natan Sharansky. Natan Sharansky, I have spoken to people after, they don't even know who he is. Natan Sharansky was the most famous refusnik. His name, everyone knew Natan Sharansky's name, the entire world. He wanted to move to Israel, the Russians didn't let him. There was protests, thousands of people, tens of thousands, were marching on Washington, and then finally Natan Sharansky got out, and it's a very famous thing. Another one's name is Elio Assas. Elio Assas lives in my building, in Isaiah 46. And he was also a very famous refusnik. There was another one named Mendelovich. I think his first name is Yosef Mendelovich, I'm not sure. There's two Mendelovichs, I don't know which one's which. Mendelovich, after he was let out of Russia, he came to Muncie, and he was speaking about his experiences. So he told the following story. He said that he was in a work camp in White Russia, wherever, Siberia, whatever it was. He said that they made the uniforms, they had to wear uniforms in a way that your shirt was not long enough that you'd be able to tuck it into your pants. It would always come out of your pants. And Rabbi Wein just made a remark about all those yeshiva bachrim that don't tuck in their pants. Yeah, he said that they didn't allow you to tuck in the pants. Why they do that? Because it's freezing cold, and the cold should get into your shirt so that it would just like get into your bones. So they intentionally, that's how vicious these people were. They barely had, they barely had any clothing. They barely had any body heat. Mendelovich cut out of the bottom of his shirt a circle and put it on his head. He's wearing a yarmulke in this camp. So Kapo calls him into his barrack, and he says to him, Mendelovich, I want you to take off that rag. He's wearing a yarmulke on his head. And he said to him, said to him, Mendelovich, take it off. He said, I'm not doing it. So he pulled out his gun. He said to him, you don't take off that rag, I'm going to shoot you dead right now. He said, you can do what you want, but it's not coming off. Now, this capo who is in charge of this camp is a very important person, but the Russian hierarchy was very intolerant. And Mendelovich was an engineer. And before he pulled the trigger, he thought, you know, maybe when they find out I shot him, they're going to be upset because he's an engineer, and maybe they're going to need him. So I shoot him, they might shoot me. So here he is. He's holding a gun. He's a Jewish prisoner. This guy's, you know, they treated Jews like lowlifes. How could he not shoot him? You know, you threaten a Jew, you got to come. So he's in this quandary. Either I shoot him, and then I die, or I don't shoot him, I look like a fool. He doesn't know what to do. So he said, put down his gun, he started to cry. He said, are you not afraid of death? He's holding a gun to his head. To which he said, the difference between me and you is I know that death comes from God. God gives and God takes whenever he wants. You think death comes from someone in the Kremlin, so you're petrified. It's an amazing story about a person that can live on a very high plane of emuna. But when a person has emuna, you don't have the same fears. You don't have the same fears that you have a person otherwise, because there's so many scary things in the world. But a person has emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he realizes everything is from Hashem. Accidents don't happen. You don't just end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. So as we work on our emuna, what we're trying to do is we're going to change our lives, totally change your life. No frustration, no anger, no jealousy. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And the more we talk about it, the more that we are conscious of it, the more we'll be capable. We're going to continue next week with a story.